First thing I'm gonna ask is if you excuse me. I've been sitting here all this time and it's very hard for me. I'm hyperactive, so I have a lot of energy. Sitting down doesn't work well for me. When your pastor, we talked and he asked me to come over and to talk about how I've profited from having Christ Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I never really thought about it. You know, I've always known how great my life has been since I've come to know Christ Jesus, but to actually put into words how it's actually benefited me, it made me think a lot. And I'm talking about going way back as a young man. One of the first things I want to do, and before I go, I keep talking to you, is understand that I like I said, I'm hyperactive. I've always been running my whole life. Not running from somewhere, but running towards something without aim. I knew I had to get somewhere and to a certain point in my life, to some place, someone. I just never knew what it was. And I was always running 100 miles an hour. So, before I continue, I'm going to have you real quickly go to Psalms chapter 46. And we're going to be reading verse 10. It's probably a well-known verse to some of you. But I want you to understand that I'm going to try to bring a little bit something different to this particular verse. And I pray to God that He gives me the wisdom and the words to actually make sense out of what I'm trying to put out there to you. And that it won't be me, that it's the Holy Spirit, the one that speaks through me. And the Word of God reads as follows. It says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Remember what I said, I'm hyper. And everything I've done has always been a million miles an hour. And I'm the guy that you know, if you say we're going to play football and it's flag football, I'm the first one that tackles somebody. Because I got to do it full all in or not out. When I came to this country, it happened because some of the decisions that I made and some of the people I hung with. A good friend of mine resembled me, and they wanted to shoot him, and I took the shots. I didn't get shot, don't worry, I'm still here, but just a lot of things that led me to come here. So when I came to this nation, there was a lot of things that I wanted to do and accomplish, and one of the things was I wanted to be better than my father. Now, I'm not disrespecting or dishonoring my dad in any way, shape, or form. The Word of God clearly tells us that we are to honor our father and our mother. But my father back then wasn't a good man. Was not a good husband. Was not a good father. He's gotten saved not long ago by God's grace. He's a faithful God. We pray continually. I prayed for my dad for over 28 years. Wow. And he knows Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior today. But he was not a good father. So when I came to this nation, I wanted to be better than my dad. I wanted to be a good man. I wanted to be a man that had success. I grew up in a ghetto in Puerto Rico, an apartment complex, subsidized. The cops till today's day don't go in there. So when I came here, I did everything right. Not really. I messed around when I got to high school. I got kicked out of a school and ended up in another school. And the decisions that I kept making, even though I had good intentions, led me towards the wrong places. And I say that not as a badge of honor, but shamefully. And because, man, nothing pleases me more now as a pastor than to hear a young man or a young lady talk about how they've been serving the Lord from their youth. But unfortunately, the decisions I was making were leading me towards the wrong direction. My grades were not good. I was able to salvage and not fail. And found myself in a place where C- is not going to get you to pay for college through scholarships. So I ended up joining the Marine Corps. You know, like I said, you know, everything I do it 100%. And I read the story about the Marines. And I know there's some Army and some Air Force guys here. Don't worry about it. Not everybody's perfect. That's why I joined the Marine Corps. I wanted to make... But, you know, like I said, I read the story about the Marines. And they were always first to fight. in all the esprit de corps. I see the Air Force guys making faces there. You guys keep dropping bombs, we gotta clean them. Right? But I felt that desire. Like I said, a million miles an hour. And I wanted to join the Marines. And not just the Marines. When I went to the recruiter's station, I looked at him and I said, I want to be an infantryman. He looks at me, yo, slow down, kid. There's intelligence. There's all these other fields. And I said, no, I need to be an infantryman. I want to be the one to fight. I want to be in the front lines. That's how I've always done things and continued running and running. Before I joined the Marines, I forgot one important part is that I moved from Puerto Rico. My parents sent me here to live with my uncle. And he's a very important piece of my story because through my uncle, it was the first time that I actually got to know what a real man is about. My uncle took me into his home when my other family members wouldn't and showed me Jesus Christ by his actions. Through his, it wasn't just what he said, the fact that he talked to me about Christ, the fact that he said, he explained to me the plan of salvation, it had everything to do with the things he did. And just to encapsulate all of that in one story, one night I was very depressed. I missed my mother, my sisters. I've only been here in this country for 6-7 months, and I couldn't sleep. I was just I felt the weight of the world on me, and I'm sitting there in the couch crying, and yes, I cried. I was not happy. Like I said, I missed my mom and my sisters. I didn't know how they were faring. I had no communications with them for a while, and my uncle came over. He was doing visitations. He was a deacon at the time at his church, and it was like 10 o'clock at night. Now, my uncle worked for AC Rochester as an engineer, and he worked from 4:30 a.m. All the way to 3:30 p.m. And then he would come home and he'll have dinner and he went off to visitation. He comes home that night at 10 p.m. and starts talking to me and starts telling me how God, I need to trust God because God is the one that's in control of all things. It doesn't matter if my family's here with me today. If the Lord decides to take them home that day, he's going to take them. And I needed to trust God. And that was my problem. That's why I couldn't sleep. Because I didn't have an assurance of knowing the creator of all things. The one that holds the cosmos in the palm of his hand. So that night we talked and it was 3 o'clock in the morning. My uncle went to the bathroom, took a shower and went to work without sleeping. He took the time to talk to his nephew and forsook his sleep, his rest, in order to make sure that his nephew was taken care of. And that was one of the many things, that my uncle did to show me Christ through his actions. So I joined the Marines and I found myself in boot camp wondering, why didn't I join the Air Force? What was I thinking? I still have a beauty mark. If I didn't have my beard, you'd see that I got a scar in my chin. That's courtesy of Drill Instructor Sergeant Guidry, who very kindly, as I was doing push-ups for punching another recruit, puts his foot on my back and tells me to get up. Well, I had a little bit of an attitude, and I told him, get your foot off my back. He did me the favor and placed it in my chin. He did what I asked him. He just continued to do something else. But a few nights later, I found myself praying to God and asking, Lord, what is it that you want out of me? What's my life going to be? Where am I headed? Why is it that I feel so angry all the time? That I felt like I had a fire in my chest all the time? Why can't I have peace? And I would pray and talk to God every night. And I wouldn't hear an answer. So it made me even angrier. Because I knew who God was. My uncle showed me who God was. I got baptized in the church. But I continued to run towards a goal that I didn't know what it was. I left boot camp. I came home. And I talked to my uncle and I was saying all the right things. Yes, sir, I spoke differently. I when I went to boot camp, I walked like this. When I came out of boot camp, I walked like this, straight. And my speech had changed, but my heart was still missing something. There was still something, a void in my life, and it just, every day, it seemed to grow more into anger, into a fire in my chest that always felt like it was going to explode, because all of the anger and the oppression and the bitterness that had grown in my heart over 17 years. I was only 17 years old when I joined the Marines. So over that short period of time, I had developed such a bitterness. Why was my father such a deadbeat? And again, I love my father. He's a new man today. I'm not telling this to discredit him. I am so happy that I can hug and kiss my father today and call him a brother in the Lord. But back then, he wasn't then. Why is my mother suffering so much? Why is it that I can't get a hold of her? Why is it that my mom, I can't tell where my sisters are? Are they okay? And all of that grew and grew and just kept burning in my chest. And that anger would spew out, as many of us might be relate to, into fights. I got into so many fights in the Marines with the Navy. We went to Mather Air Force Base to do some training. Guess what happened there? We beat the Air Force guys up too. I know, I'm just picking on him right now, brother. I apologize. But there was an anger. And I just kept running and running and never knew where I was headed to. I find myself, we left, I got my combat in Somalia. And after Somalia, we ended up going to Singapore. And I met this crazy hick from North Carolina, a missionary. And he came over and enticed us. I will feed you guys. I will take you around. I'll show you Thailand. And excuse me, not Thailand, Singapore. I will show you Singapore and I'll give you a free tour. Free tour? Food? Free food? I'm in. He says, the only thing I ask is you got to sit down through our Bible study. Well, guess what? I have been through Bible studies, guy. I sat in a church. I got baptized. I don't have a problem with that. So we get to this place. He took us around, showed us around. Beautiful Singapore. We went to where he was living at. And we ate food. Treated us well. And he started preaching a message that to me was too simple. It was too simple for me. The message was, Jesus loves you. Thinking to myself, I heard that my whole life. What good is it? I've heard this, Jesus loves you, my whole life. He started talking about, for God so loved the world. I looked at him, thinking in myself as I'm looking at him, and I'm saying, John 3:16, come on, guy, give me something better. And he continued on, and listen, I wasn't sitting there. I was scalding. I was literally sitting as this man was, who just showed me around, who just fed me, as he's talking about the Word of God, I'm looking at him like I want to rip his head off. You see, my problem wasn't with him. My problem was with the God he was talking about. You see, my problem was that I had an issue with the God he kept talking about. Brother Dell referred it to me, rebelling against God. The anger that I felt in my heart, the bitterness that I felt in my heart, wasn't against my dad. It wasn't against my mom. It wasn't against anybody, but against God. Yes, sir. And I couldn't understand it. And as I'm listening to those simple words, God loves you, Jesus loves you, it kept bothering me and bothering me more, because all I could think about was, if you love me, why are you allowing me to go through all of this? If you love me, why can't my father be a better father, a better husband? If you love me, why has life pulled me away from my mother and my sisters? I couldn't protect them. I couldn't be there for them. If you love me so much, why is it that I find myself thousands of miles away from the people that I love? You've allowed it to take place. That bitterness growing and growing. But I didn't know that God was working in my heart. He was causing me to tell him everything that was in my heart. Because what he was doing is, he was showing me that my issue was with him. He was letting me know, Hector, you're angry at the wrong things. Your problem isn't with all of life. Your problem is with me. And the problem was that I didn't understand what he did for me. So as the message finished, I didn't get anything out of it because I was so angry. I blocked it all off. I heard it, but I didn't hear it. It was hitting in my heart, and it was punching, but I wasn't allowing it to break. I wasn't going to allow to be disappointed again. I wasn't going to allow to suffer again. I wasn't going to give him the chance to make me hurt so I could open up and show my emotions. I wasn't going to do that. As we were done, this Singaporean pastor says to me, Brother Dale, he says to me, God told me I need to talk to you. So I'm thinking to myself, hey, I'm a Marine. This heart is closed, brother. You want to talk to me? Let's talk. I sat down. We went to an office. And I sat down. And the first thing he said to me is, you're angry with God. I got to tell you this much. It still gives me chills.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Because he said something that was true. I was angry with God. And he says, and you're angry with God and you don't even know why. You see, your problem is you're afraid to love and be loved. Of course, I'm afraid to love and be loved. I don't know what love is. The only love I got is from my mother who suffered. That's the only image I saw of love. My mother loving us and suffering every day. My dad burnt my mother's Bible. My dad would throw cold water on my mother while she prayed. Of course, I don't want to love. Of course, I don't want to open myself to that. Why will I do that? And as I sat there, the next words were the ones that broke me. Do you know that in spite of all of that, he still loves you?
Thank the Lord. Amen. Thank the Lord Jesus. Thank
I got to tell you.
Yes, thank the Lord.
When I heard those words, something happened and I just started crying like a little child. I couldn't understand what was taking place in my life. I finally had given in to God. I finally had understood all this time what I've heard, what I've read, what I said that I professed to believe when I got baptized. That I knew God. You see, that day I knew Christ. That was the day I got saved. That was the day I became a born-again Christian. That was the day that I actually became a member of God's family. And I got to tell you, when I walked out of there, I still had that anger. I still had those issues. But I was able to manage them. I was able to be able to process and understand why I felt the way I did. So I continued on to mess up. I wish I could tell you I turned my life around and I walked a straight and narrow, but I continued to mess up. But there was something different. I felt guilty every time I sinned.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
There was something different about when I heard somebody reading the Bible. There was something different about in the middle of the ocean in a ship reading a Bible with no one around. I felt that I wasn't alone. I came home and I got out of the Marines. And I started going back to my uncle's church. As I started getting involved with the church, I started getting involved with the ministry. And I say that to say this, if you're a Christian and you're finding yourself not growing, get involved in the ministry. Any ministry. I could care less if it's the cleaning ministry. Get involved in something. Because water that stays stagnant becomes poisonous. You need to stay busy for the things of God. So I ended up getting busy in ministries and started cleaning, and all of a sudden I've always been hyper. I like playing sports. I like working out. I like doing all kinds of crazy stuff. So my uncle said, I want you to start working with the youth. And I started working with the youth ministry. But guess what the problem was, brother? There was still that bitterness in my heart. It was still that, it wasn't the same, but there was still a fire burning in me. So I continued to serve. And all of a sudden, that fire began to mitigate. As I gave myself, I found myself being filled as if I was receiving. I started to understand the principle of it is better to give than to receive. When I started getting involved in other people's lives, I started to realize I didn't have the worst life on earth. Mm-hmm. When I started seeing the hurt in other people's, I started to be grateful for the life God had given me. Mm-hmm. And as I started dealing with people that had issues similar to the ones that I had, I was able to tell them that there is a God that can fulfill the need that you have right now. I was able to tell people, listen, I've been there. I know the anger. I know the hatred. I know the bitterness. And I got to tell you, you don't need to have it. You can give it to an almighty God that can take it away. And I was able to do that. Started to look for a job. You talk about something to get angry about. Trying to be a Marine, an infantryman, trying to find a job in the real world. My skills quite didn't translate into the real world. I was taught how to kill and how to shoot. Not exactly what you'd find out here, if you know what I mean. But I ended up being blessed, and I ended up getting a part-time job, part-time flexible, with the post office. And I was walking out delivering mail. And I was delivering mail. I ended up delivering mail to the prettiest woman I've ever seen in my life. She later became my wife. See, I didn't see any of this. But going back in time, while I was in the Marines, I had to take this girl to a prom. I didn't want to go with that girl. My mother voluntold me. Yeah, I wasn't even home, and she told this girl and her mother, my son will take you to the prom. Don't worry. You don't have a date? Guess what? She didn't have a date. Anyway, but my mother told me I was going to talk. I know it's mean, but it's the truth. So I was told that I had to take her. Now, I'm not happy. I'm not happy. I got to take this girl to the ball because my mother told me into it. Now, remember what I said? When I was in the Marines, I wasn't serving God quite the way I should have. So I meet this young girl. Well, she met me. I really was a little bit arrogant back in those days. And she started praying for me, unbeknownst to me. Now, fast forward again to being a mailman, I became that girl's mailman. So I'm home, I'm delivering mail, unbeknownst to me, this young woman is praying for me. Praying for me, brother, that I'd be the guy that God has for her. She had problems back in those days. She was praying for me to become her husband. There's problems. Yeah. Well, those are the problems that God put a little bit of blindness in her so that she could go see past all of my imperfections. Unbeknownst to me. So I'm going to our church, and we have an evangelist, Samuel Gipp. We were sharing a building with a different church. And Sam Gipp is preaching there, and we didn't have a place to preach on Wednesday because the church we shared the building with, it was their church. They were using the building on Wednesday. So Sam, we speak to this pastor of this church called Calvary Bible Baptist Church. Now, all the stories are going to become a little weird, but it's going to come together. So he says to Pastor Simpson, who was the pastor at the time of Calvary Bible Baptist Church, says to my uncle, who was the pastor now, the same uncle that showed me who Christ was, became my pastor. Says, come over to our church. We'd love to hear Sam preach. So I'm still very arrogant. I'm still very arrogant, and there's still bitterness that God's working in my heart. And little by little, the good thing about it is he's moving it aside. He's throwing it away and burying it deep, 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 and putting it as far as the east is from the west. Sam is staying at my uncle's house, who I ended up commuting with quite often. I would stay still at his house every now and then. He's like a second father to me. And Sam Gibbs says, "Hey Hector, are you coming over?" And I said, "No, I don't get into this visiting other churches garbage." Those were my words, brother. I don't do that garbage, you know. This is the only church. So Sam Gibb, in all his wisdom and godliness, looks at me and says this deep words. Stop being an idiot. I gotta tell you, he's very deep, very profound. Because it worked. I said, fine, I'll go. So that night, as I'm at church and I'm being filled, fed by the Holy Spirit through the words of Brother Gibb, I'm walking on and I see this pretty brunette. By the way, she's that pretty brunette right there. Amen. So I asked her out on a date, brother. You want to know how weird God is? Her parents are very strict, good, godly people. Amen. And I'm reaping the benefits of that.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
Yep. Her parents were going out that Friday night. Now, this is Wednesday. That Friday night, they're going out with my uncle and my aunt. So I'm like, because she goes and tells her dad, because she's a good girl, "Hey, Pop, Pastor Rodriguez's nephew wants to ask me out." And of course, being the good father, he says, "I don't know him. I got to do some homework." So I call my uncle. I said, "Uncle Joe, I met this real pretty girl. I really like her." He goes like, "Oh yeah, Brother Gonzalez already called me. We're going out Friday. Him and I are going to talk about you." I said, "What are you going to say?" He goes like, "The truth." And I was like, "No, really, what are you going to say?" "What are you going to say?" And he starts laughing. He goes like, "Well, don't worry, son. I just, somewhere in between, you look good." I wasn't very happy with that answer because my uncle had a sense of humor, if you know what I mean. He must have said good things because I ended up taking her out. Our first date was to my church. But there was still bitterness in my heart. There was something still missing. I'm like, "Lord, what is going on?" Now, let me back up a little bit. Weeks before I met her, I'm talking to a friend of mine who is a deacon in our church. A young man, if you have questions about life, don't ask the guys that are your age. Look for, the Bible says, mark those that are doing the will of God. Look at your deacons, your pastors, and ask them questions. Because here's the weird part. They've already been where you're at today.
That's good.
So I said to this deacon, Jose. Now, Jose Montes, my deacons, the Lord really knew how to deal with me. Had a sense of humor. I used to wear my pants down here back in the day. My deacons would walk by me, literally, and pick me up by my pants and pull them up. Where my legs were in the air. That's how they fixed my pants. But guess what? I didn't like that. So I started wearing my pants the right way when I went to church. Just to avoid that. So those are the type of deacons I had. And so I said, "Jose." Now obviously, a friendship had developed. Because year on, not later, I'm asking him for advice. "Brother, I'm looking for a good woman. I'm looking for a good girl, and I'm dating pastor's daughters. Evangelist daughters, and they're cornflakes. There's no depth to them."
That's right. Yes, sir.
And I'm not saying that. I'm just simply saying that just because your dad is a pastor or an evangelist, right, it makes no, has nothing to do with you. Your relationship with Christ is your relationship with Christ.
Yes, sir.
That's good.
And he says to me, "Are you praying for her?" I said, "What are you talking about? Did you hear me? I'm trying to find one. Who am I going to pray for? I don't know who she is." He says, "There's your problem. First of all, God knows who she is. You need to start praying as if she's next to you. Second of all, if you want the right woman, you better become the right man."
Yes, sir.
I got to tell you, I didn't want to hear that. The part about me becoming the right man, because I'm thinking, who does he think he is? Man, I'm the youth pastor here. I'm the youngest youth pastor. Now I'm telling you, those weird stuff are going around my head. But something sank in. I started praying, and shortly after, I met my wife. Now, I'm going to fast forward a bit because we got married. I don't know if you figured that out. We got married. And there was something still missing. Man, I'm like, I got the woman of my dreams, better than my dreams. We have two kids. What's missing? I kept ignoring a calling. I kept ignoring the calling. You see, I knew for a long time ago the God had called me to be a pastor. And I wanted nothing to do with it.
Yeah, sir.
Are you kidding me? You know what pastors do? They deal with people's problems. I got plenty of my own problems. You know what pastors do? They have to be willing to give themselves.
Yes.
And sometimes be used. And thrown aside. And then criticized. And you know what God said to me? Congratulations, my son was perfect and you crucified him. Brother, I didn't know how to answer that. I had no comeback to that. The only perfect person that ever walked this earth, we crucified. So, we fast forward. My wife had seen what the ministry had done to some pastors' wives. It can be very, very burdensome on them. So she was very afraid for me and for herself. So God, guess what? I'm finally giving in to it. I want to answer this calling, but I'm not going if she's not going. You have to work in her heart. Fast forward. My wife was sitting down one night and she says to me, I'm ready. I'm ready for you to become a pastor. I'm going to go back to that verse. Be still and know that I am God.
Yes, thank the Lord.
I spent my life running. Running and running and running. When all I had to do was stand and wait on God. All I had to do was stay still and watch the hand of God at work. All of the time that I ran, it was a waste of time. Because God was working in the midst of everything. God was moving pieces and placed and putting them in play for Him to get me where He wanted me to be. For Him to get me to the woman that He wanted me to be with. For Him to get me at a place where I could say, Lord, I owe You everything. The question that your pastor asked, how has it profited me to know Christ Jesus as my Lord and Savior? He's given me everything. Everything I ever dreamed of and more. I always wanted a boy and a girl, and I wanted my first child to be a boy. There he is. And he'll tell you.
Going after the smug face.
I wanted a little girl. He gave me a little girl. I'm going to tell you something that's going to sound really weird. But that's the beauty of our God. He is everything. He can do anything and everything. When I was 10 years old, I had a dream, brother, of my wife. That's weird, right? At 10 years old, you talk about waking up freaked out. I was married at 10 years old. That was my dream. I woke up screaming and sweating, brother. Whoa, what happened? How did I get married? I want to get married right now, but in my dream, now I lived in Puerto Rico. There's no second floors to the houses we live in. But in my dream, my wife, she's got long black hair down to here, and she's walking upstairs. And I never saw her face. I just saw the long hair down to here, and her walking up the stairs. My wife and I are dating. Before she says this, bro, I'm going to put it out, and it's being recorded. So in case I'm saying it, I broke up with my wife twice. Both times I was wrong. I just want to get it right. Not in open. In case she starts telling the story, you're my witnesses. I was wrong. We're dating. We're about to get. I'm now. This is after the second time we've broken up. Before I got scared. I'm sitting down in the bay and watching TV in my soon-to-be in-laws' house. And my girlfriend at the time goes up the stairs. Her hair was down to here. Long black hair. And she's walking up the stairs.
Wow.
I looked up, and my dream hit me.
Yes.
There was my wife. That moment, I knew that was the woman that God had intended for me long before I even knew it. I don't know about that. I know of people that walked on water because that Bible tells me so. I know the sea was split in half and God's people walked in dry land because that book tells me so. I know of a young virgin that was told in a dream that she was going to give birth and he was going to be named Emmanuel. God works in mysterious ways. You see? There isn't anything that has not been profitable to me since I've known Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Even the wrong things I've done, somehow God has used them to be beneficial in one way or another.
That's good.
I mess up, he doesn't. In the midst of my mistakes, somehow his name still is glorified. And I got to tell you, Brother Dale, there's not one day, that goes by that I've ever said, I hate being saved.
Yes, that's right. Exactly right.
Every day that God gives me is a blessing. Everything that I have is as a result of God's blessings upon my life. I have a high school education. That's all I have. I'm a sergeant with the Monroe County Sheriff's Office. I make more money than a lot of professionals do, and not because of me, because of my God. You see, my education comes from this book.
Yes, thank you, Lord. That's right.
That is my education. Amen. There's nothing that the school system can teach me that that book can't teach.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you, family, if you're teaching your kids to worship education, that's who they're going to worship as they get older.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And the reason I'm saying that is school is not more important than church. School is not more important than that book.
That's right.
Sports are not more important than church or more important than that book.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You want your children to have a fulfilled life. You want your children to have a life that glorifies God. They have a successful life. Teach them to love God and to love that book.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
That book is perfect and unerred. There is no mistakes in it. We are the ones that mess it up.
Yes, sir.
Be still and know that I am God to me means one thing. And I pray to God that it means this to you. And if not, it means this to you from now on. Stop running and wait on the Lord.
Yes, thank you. Help us, Lord. Help us.
Wherever God's placed you, be patient in God and wait and see Him work His miracles. Israel spent 40 years spinning around. You know why? Because God wanted to have their hearts in the right place before He took them into the promised land. God has you here today in this church, in this area, because He's doing something in you. He might be trying to get your heart in a place where He can use it. He might have you here to be the next D.L. Moody.
Yes, that's right.
He might have you here to be the next Charles Spurgeon.
Yes, thank you.
That'll never happen unless you wait upon Him. Unless you're willing to be patient and wait upon the Lord.
Amen.
To see Him work His wonders and know that He is God. If you're not like me where you spent your whole life running, God bless you. But if you run a lot, stop. Be still and know that He's still in control. Be still and know that He's still the same God that spoke everything into existence. The same God that delivered Israel from Egypt. The same God that resurrected and from the dead after 3 days and has gone up into heaven and prepared a place for us. The same God that said, I am the first, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The same God that says that nothing, no one can take you from His hand. Truly hope that somehow I've accomplished what Pastor Asquith had desired out of this. One of the most important parts for me in Bible studies, this is more like a Bible study to me, it's the give and take. It's the questions or comments. So I've given. Hopefully some of you have something to give in regards to questions or whatever. So, anyone. If you guys don't have any questions, you have all the answers. So please help me.
How did your dad get saved?
Oh, that's a good story. So my father, remember what I said, that God allowed me to start getting involved more with people's lives. And I started seeing their lives. I thought my life was rough until I found out about my father's life. Just so you know a bit about my father, we grew up, they grew up in a poor area. We grew up in a poor area, Puerto Rico. And they literally lived 2 minutes from the beach. My dad was born, like many people back in his days, in a house, in a wooden house. Just so you have an idea of the type of life my dad led, he would have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, walk 2 miles with two 5-gallon buckets of water, and then he would have to walk him back to bring water to the house, him and his brother, my his oldest brother, my uncle. There were 6 boys and 6 girls, a lot of mouths to feed. My dad, just so you have an idea who my grandfather was sick once when he was 11 years old. They had to walk about a mile and a half to school. It was a long, long drive to get out of my grandparents' driveway. My dad had an extremely high fever. He passed out. His father looked at him. Passed out cold on the dirt and drove by him and left him there like a dog. Just left his son there. Praise the Lord that his aunt lived down the street, drove by and saw him, picked him up, took him to the hospital, because if not, he would have died. All of a sudden, my life didn't seem that bad. And I really started looking deeper into it. My grandfather, at 13 years old, was on his own and built his first house. Every time a hurricane came by and knocked it down, he had to build it back up. I was able to see that in spite of all of my complaints, there were so many blessings that I didn't see before. So my father didn't have a good relationship with his dad. Didn't, sadly. My grandfather died. So I went to Puerto Rico. And I wanted to talk to my dad, and I had been witnessing to my dad, and we're at the funeral site at the cemetery, and as my grandfather's getting lowered into the ground, my dad disappears. So my grandmother pulls on my shirt, tells me, Pito, that was my nickname, go with your dad. So I'm looking, and I take off running. My dad's eyes are bright, I mean, just red, blood red. But my dad doesn't cry in public. So I said, Pa, what's going on? And we talked for a little bit. And I said, Pa, you know that Jesus loves you? You know that Jesus died for you? You do know that, right? He says to me, Son, if you knew the things I've done in my life, there's no way that God can forgive me. He goes like, I just wished death upon my own father. And here I am today, burying my dad. We got into an argument. I never got to fix it. So I kept praying for him and witnessing to him. My mother kept praying for him. They were divorced by now. Kept praying for him. I prayed to God that he would use a man. So I was here and he was still in Puerto Rico. And I got a phone call once of somebody crying and screaming, your dad got saved. A friend of his from a long time ago that they had lost touch with each other had become a pastor. His father stopped by this restaurant that he kept hearing about, my grandparents' restaurant. My father was there. They started talking, and he left. The guy left. He says, hey, if you see your son, tell him I said hi. The sun drove down that next morning to where my father was at, 2-hour drive, about an hour and a half drive, where to my father was. He goes, God has been, I've been looking for you for a while. God has been talking to me about you, and I need to talk to you. That man led him to the Lord.
Wow.
You see, here I am praying from all the way over here in New York that God would use one man, because I don't know what else to do. And God was telling me, wait. And you know what the thing, great thing about it is? If I would have led him to the Lord, I would have said, oh, praise God. I would have been glad. But to see God answer prayer and connecting and the way that he moved things to get my dad to that place and that time where he got saved, I can only say that I'm glad that I sat and waited upon the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I was able to see his hand in the midst of it working.
That's good.
Anything else? If you got all the answers, please help me out. I got plenty of questions for you. Come on, especially, I know the Air Force guy's a little afraid because I'm a Marine, but don't worry, it's okay, brother. Yes, sir.
How was it for you transforming your manners, so to say, like going from one way of living to another and trying to get into that new way of life? I'm sure it was alien.
Oh, brother, it was hard. It was hard. And you know when it finally clicked in? When it wasn't me doing it. I started reading the Bible. I started praying to God, make me a new man. Your word says that I am a new man. All things are become new. All things are past. Show me. And without me knowing, it was happening. Yeah. It wasn't until, because I was trying to change. I'm like, I got to stop doing this. And guess what? I was doing the same thing. I was a brawler. That was one of the biggest problems I had with being a pastor. You can't be a brawler. And brother, I love to fight. I used to enjoy it.
Boy.
I used to like, my wife, can I relished it. I would, in the job, when bad guys were there, I wanted to be there. Because I was hoping for a nice little, you know, let's get it on. And the Lord started taking that away from me. It wasn't me doing it. He was doing it. It wasn't, because I wasn't able to. I tried. And I'm pretty sure that question, you've tried to change certain things about you that you can't change. My advice is, man, dive into his word. Get busy in the things of God. Best thing I did was I stopped hanging with my lost friends. The friends that I used to hang with back in the day, I stopped. We had two different minds. Why am I going to deal with a person that is completely different from me? God helped me out, but it wasn't until I started diving into the Word of God and really giving myself unto Him that He started changing me. It wasn't me changing anymore. But it was weird. It was strange. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. It's weird being here. It is so weird being called pastor. I still haven't gotten used to it. Like, I've been walking, pastor, pastor, pastor. Finally, I look back. I've been calling you pastor. I'm like, hey, how you doing? But because I know I'm not worthy, but somehow he believes that he can use me. And you know what? I believe he can use me too.
Amen.
Yeah, thank the Lord.
It's not about me. It's all about him.
Amen.
You can't change yourself, but he can change you. It wasn't until I gave it all to him and I stopped trying to change and just applying biblical principles onto my life that those changes started taking place. Is that a good answer?
Mm-hmm.
I always ask that question because sometimes, you know, I had one guy actually told me that, no, that wasn't a good answer. It's pretty interesting. any questions? Or I'm really listening. I'm an open book. I'm going to tell you as it is. Yes, sir.
How long have you been a pastor, and is Calvary Baptist your first assignment?
So I've been a pastor. I was an assistant pastor for about a year, a little bit over a year before I became a pastor. I've been a pastor since last November.
November 12th, when another pastor.
November 12th. Last November 12th. My first assignment as a pastor, per se, was a youth pastor in my old church. I came to my wife's church, my church now, as the youth pastor. So I've been in ministry for a while. But I run away from that calling. I still today's day I tell people it's a miracle that I'm a pastor because I didn't want it. I knew I was called to it, but I kept running against it. The Bible says you can't run against the pricks. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know what I was doing? I was hindering my growth in the Lord. You know what I kept saying? I don't trust you. That's what I kept saying to God. I don't trust you.
Yes, help us.
And it wasn't until I gave in that all of a sudden I started seeing the benefits. And it wasn't so much to me, but to the body, to the church. Our church went through a lot. And
yeah,
the healing that's taken place, amen, that God has done, and I've been blessed to be the vehicle that he's used, has put me to shame as to not answering that call sooner. I wish I would have answered it sooner, brother. I'll be honest with you. But the great thing is he's in control of all things. And he found it fit to be this time. I can say, I wish I would have answered earlier, but I can also say, God is in control. And for whatever reason, he wanted it to be at this time. This is yours. If you don't have anything else, we're done. We can pray and go home. Or if you have anything else, yes, sir.
Well, I have one more question. Because this pastor, I think I am his pastor, because you become a pastor in February or March, that's because you're a great pastor, because you're teaching in adult Sunday school.
That's for my son. That's the hardest critic I got, so I'll take it. Yes, ma'am.
Do they give you a hard time being a sheriff and also a pastor? Do they?
Listen, I get people all the time. So when you became pastor, did you say there's a new sheriff in town? I heard them all. It's been an interesting transition. Some of the people, like I said, I was a little wild when I first came to Calvary. Very rough, very raw. And I've made a lot of mistakes. The Lord used me. Remember what I said, mistakes? Used me in spite of those mistakes that I made, because when I was a youth pastor, we had a great, great youth group. The biggest part is, till today's day, you can ask any of my kids, and they will tell you one thing. We always knew he loved us.
Amen.
We always knew he loved us. So, in spite of my mistakes, he used me. And I love that. Yes, ma'am.
When did you transition from postman to policeman?
I was going to say that.
From postman to policeman. Well, I actually got let go by the post office. Here's a funny story. I got let go. I remember anger issues. I'll leave it at that. That's a story that I don't want to record. So I actually, my fiance at the time, I had told her, take my car. I had a newer car. So, I wanted my future wife to have, hey, take my car anytime I'm working. Just pick me up. So she took the car and I got let go. I remember that anger was about to explode. I'm walking. I ended up walking to my apartment at the time with tears down my eyes. Just anger. Arguing with God. It wasn't God's fault. But he still used that. I never wanted to be a cop. Never in my wildest dream. I actually thought I'd end up in the other side of the bars a few times. But after I got married, I did a lot of construction jobs. We had kids. I wanted some benefits. I took the RPD test for Rochester Police. They turned me down because they felt that because of my military training, I would go insane or something. I don't know.
They didn't want you going postal?
They didn't want me going postal. That was good. I gotta They thought I'd go postal. I was bitter about that too. I remember I grabbed the letter, crumpled it up, threw it in the garbage. A guy that I befriended, that him and I took the test together, he goes, Hector, challenge the results. Challenge him. I didn't. He did. He got the job with RPD. Two years later, a friend of mine told me, take the test for the jail. I'm like, I don't want to work in the jail. I got too many family members in there. But I ended up taking the job in the jail, and it turned out to be a blessing. I worked there for 3 years. God gave me, I love the fact that God says that, you know what, he, if you're serving him, he's going to give you a good name, even with your bosses. Mm-hmm. He gave me a good name with my bosses. The under-sheriff at the time took a liking to some of the things I was doing in the jail. I got really involved with the youth. I was working with minors. As a matter of fact, one of my kids, when I was a youth pastor, ended up in the jail. And I ended up ministering to him there, Sheltier. The Lord used it all. The undersheriff came up to me and says, I want you to take the police test. Well, guess what? He's the undersheriff. What am I going to say? No? All right, sir. So I took the test, and I scored a 95. And you know what? By the way, I've never been a good test taker. My first test, I scored an 85. I got hired by God's grace. But even for the police bureau, for the jail bureau, I got turned down. A new superintendent came in, and the guy that was in recruitment says, hey, listen, this kid got turned down. I don't know why. You got to take a look at this kid. And I got hired. So the devil got involved, and God says, no, I'm in control. And I ended up, that's how I ended up working for the sheriff's office. And it's been a blessing. The Lord has been so good to me. This career has opened doors that I never thought I could. I've prayed over our governor. I've prayed with, I have Senator Robach, Senator Funkies. I got their cell phone numbers. And I speak to them, and I've been able to pray with them. And it's all because this job. Obviously, I know it's God that does all things, but God utilized this job in order for me to have a personal connection with these individuals. And I got to tell you, to today's day, I give glory to God because I don't know how he uses me, because I'm still very abrupt. I'm still very, this is me. Love it or leave it. One thing is I love my God.
Amen.
I love my church, the people that God has given me to take care of. It's been a blessing, but that's how the transition took place. Yes, sir.
This isn't a question, this is more of a statement. Out of anyone in the Bible that you remind me of, you remind me mostly of Paul.
Paul? Praise the Lord. That's a compliment. I associate more with Peter. I love Brother Peter, but I've always admired and loved Brother Paul. You know, Brother Paul was a very abrupt guy. Like if you read the epistles he wrote, he's not gentle. No. But you know what the difference was? The people knew he loved them. Mm-hmm. And my advice in that, if you're dealing with somebody and you're going to address them in anything, make sure they know you love them first. Because you know what? If I love you and I tell you something, regardless of how much it hurts you or it bothers you, you'll know it's because he loves me. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. That's a huge compliment. I don't know if I can live up to that. Yes, sir.
I have Army here. There's a few Air Force.
Listen, God forgives you.
I just have a question about your Marine or your career as a Marine. What do crayons taste like?
They're very good. You put a little hot sauce on them.
We actually have a Marine here.
No, hey, listen, brother. You see that? The crayons. It's okay. It's okay. Just, I don't want to say what Army stands for because it's being recorded.
Do you think you're at a point in your life now that if you would trust God if he told you to give up the sheriff position?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I pray that doesn't happen.
No, I understand.
But he's done everything, brother. I'm a kid from a ghetto in Puerto Rico that somehow, with a high school education, that somehow has allowed God, because we have to allow him to work through us, and by doing so, I have benefited so much beyond my dreams. By the way, There came a point where I almost left Calvary. But I couldn't, because in my heart of hearts, my wife can attest to this, that was the church that I was going to pastor. My assistant pastor, when I got ordained, says to the pastor at the time, congratulations, you just ordained the next pastor of this church.
Amen.
I couldn't leave it. So, yeah, amen. If he told me to do so, I have to, because guess what's going to happen if I don't?
Yeah.
It's going to happen a different way that I'm not going to like it. Mm-hmm. God's will always take place. It's like, listen, you can deny the sky all you want. At the end of the day, you're going to look up and there it is. God's will is the same way. You can try to get away from it. At the end of the day, it's going to take place. By you going with it or getting ran over by it. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of getting ran over. Yes, ma'am.
Kind of more of a statement, maybe a question. So because you had mentioned that because they had seen your growth at Calvary and where you came from, do you think that's more... to me, I see that as being beneficial. Like, if I saw somebody who is now pastured, if I had been sitting there, I'd have more respect for the pastor knowing he came from where I was at. Do you have that with some of the people?
Some of them, yes. A lot of them, here's the issue, and I want you to look at it this way, and this is the best way I can explain it. What's your son's name?
Zane.
Zane, right? Mm-hmm. Zane grows up to be a fine young man. All of a sudden, he becomes your pastor. How weird is that? But you know why? I saw him grow up. I know everything he did. And there was an issue with some people. But like, oh, I remember that crazy kid. Remember when he hung that? No, I can't say that. That'd be a different story. But some of the stuff I did, I was very hyper. Yes, I did. And it was, we had an unruly kid. He learned how to be ruly. But, you know, and that was with some of the people. You know, they're like, even though I was doing the job of the pastor already, it wasn't until I became the pastor, when the church voted me in, that they're like, but one of the statements I've made to them is this, even in the voting, and this, I was the worst political advisor for my own campaign. I told the people, I don't want you voting for me. I want you voting for whomever God wants you to vote for.
Amen. It's good.
Amen.
Because at the end of the day, you're not doing me any favor if you vote for me and that's not what God's placed in your heart.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I want God's chosen to be the one that pastors this church, even if it isn't me.
Amen.
But no, you know, some people do. Some people still are getting used to it.
Like, I understand like what you're saying, but like for me, like I think to actually see, I have a better understanding or relate better to people who come from where I'm at. Like, it's just...
Yeah. No, no, and I look at it from the same perspective. I'll tell you some stories after this is off that are you're going to be like, okay, I can see why they think that way. Somebody else had their hand up. I apologize. Oh, maybe I did. Okay.
Okay.
Well, I just want to say... Yes, sir.
No, go ahead. I have nothing. I was just going to say, why don't you close in prayer, but go ahead and say...
I don't know. What I was going to say is it's been a blessing, this opportunity.
Thank you.
I hope somehow my testimony has at least, even if it's an inch, gotten you closer to God and to who God is and how awesome He is. Till today's day, my favorite verse is, I got to go there because sometimes I do my own version. And I don't want that. It's in Joshua chapter 7. Chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. That is not it either.
Chapter 1,
thank you, my love. Chapter 1, verses 7 and 8.
She fills the same role as Mr. Fan.
Yes. So, verses 8 and 9, thank you. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee?
Yes,
be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, Brother Hector.
Yes, ma'am.
Even your verse says prosperous.
And I never looked at it that way. Thank you. My life has been prosperous because of him, not because of me.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
All right. How about I close in prayer, and if anybody wants to ask any questions on a one-on-one basis, then I'll tell you a story, and it's not recorded. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Father, for this opportunity.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for the privilege, Father, that it is to speak on behalf of you to your people. Thank you for the opportunity to get to meet some of my extended family through your precious blood. I pray you that you bless this church. Father, that you bless your people, that they're willing to give themselves to you and to wait upon you and to see that you are God. Lord, bless us always. Bless the fellowship. And Father, I pray you for Brother Asquith and Brother Scott as they're in Vietnam. And we thank you for all things and pray all things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen.